Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my amazing friend, and welcome to The Miracle Cafe. I'm your host, Emmanuel Dagger, and I have a very special show planned for you today. I'm excited to open up today's show with a special treat provided by one of my dearest friends, Rosalie Nior, and you can check her out at thecrystalgateway.org. That's thecrystalgateway.org. And she will be here setting the tone to the show with a beautiful meditation. And then we'll jump right into to the first ever Ask Emmanuel segment, which is focused all about you and your voice and kind of just sharing what you're going through, and hopefully, you know, me being able to share my personal experiences and maybe some insights and ideas that can help, you know, create some positive shift and transformation in your life. So definitely stay tuned for that. And now I'm turning it over to our beautiful Rosalie.
I would like to share with you an introduction to grounding within your physical body before today's show. So sit in comfortably and close your eyes and place your hands on your thighs. Focus your attention on your body. Begin with your feet. Then slowly and thoroughly move your awareness up through your legs, thighs, torso, arms, neck and head. Be aware of your breath moving in and out, in and out. Imagine that you are surrounded by light. And as you breathe in, inhale this light and feel your body filling with it. As you breathe out, exhale any tension, any pain you may feel in your jaw, your face, your shoulders. Exhale any tension you may feel elsewhere in your body. Keep inhaling light, exhaling tension. Inhale light, exhale tension, until you are relaxed and calm. If your mind begins to drift or chatter, gently bring your attention back to your breathing. And now begin to picture tiny roots coming out of the soles of your feet and the bottom of your spine. Feel them growing and growing. Extend them down through your chair and through the floor, all the way down into the earth beneath you. And continue to breathe in light and exhale tension. And as you do, visualize your roots wriggling deep, deep, deep into the ground, taking hold there and connecting you securely to the center of Mother Earth. On the inhalation, imagine that you can breathe through your roots and draw the energy of the earth itself, up through your roots, just as you would draw liquid up through a straw. Draw the energy up, up into your body until it fills your heart and begins to course through your entire being. And now bring your attention to the top of your head, to your crown. Visualize this spot, which is about an inch and a half in diameter, beginning to open. From this opening, fibers are emerging, long filaments reaching up like branches through the ceiling, all the way up through the building, stretching up to the sky, out to the heavens. Imagine these filaments connecting you to the sun and all the planets and the stars. As you inhale, breathe in the energy of the heavens, bringing it down, down through these fibers into your body, through the top of your head. Draw this energy down into your heart, letting it fill with the radiant light of the heavens. Feel it coursing through your entire being. And now, breathe in both streams of energy, up from the earth and down from the heavens at the same time. Allow these two energies to weave together in your heart and fill your body. Keep breathing in the energy up from the earth and down from the heavens. Up from the earth, down from the heavens. Up from the earth and down from the heavens. You are now anchored securely between heaven and earth. Feel the connection, and when you're ready, become aware of your body again, of where you are sitting. Feel your breath rise and fall. Feel your heartbeat. Listen to all the sounds around you. And slowly, slowly, in your own time, open your eyes. My name is Rosalie Muir, and the music has been supplied to us very generously from David Newby. Namaste.
Thank you, Rosalie. Thank you so much for setting such a beautiful tone for the show, and thank you for blessing us with your amazing presence. Hope to have you back on soon. So here we go. I'm very excited to present our first ever Ask Emmanuel segment. The intention of this segment is to focus primarily on you and your voice. The idea is that when one of us is going through something, many of us have either gone through it or are also going through something similar right now. So this segment gives us the opportunity to open up to new insights and new perspectives that can really lead to those positive transformations and shifts that we're seeking to experience. So when we share it, when we put it out there, then it can shift. And a side note, these questions are presented in the order that I receive them. So if you have a hot topic or an idea or something that you would like for me to kind of share, or you know, we can co-create some clarity on, you can email me at Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com, and I will make sure to get that on the show. And if you are, you know, if you don't want your name to be mentioned, just let me know. I can do that for you. All right, so our first question, here we go. These questions are amazing. Thank you to everyone who's already submitted, and these are going to be some good things that we're going to have to talk about today. So our first question comes from Michael in California. So Michael writes, I'm having a tough time gauging the difference between spirituality and religion. I grew up with very Christian parents, so as a young adult, I rebelled against everything I was taught as a kid. But now as I get a little bit older, I'm realizing that I still want to have some kind of spirituality in my life. Can you share your thoughts on this? Well, Michael, that's an amazing question. And, you know, I think I can definitely share my perspective on this, because I did also grow up, you know, in a strong Catholic household. So although my mom was very open and you know, free, you know, I did the whole, what do they call that, confirmation and all that stuff. So I went through that whole process, and because I was so sensitive myself, I definitely internalized a lot of those teachings that, you know, as a kid, you can absorb like a sponge. So the thing is, the first part of your question, you know, having a tough time gauging between spirituality and religion, the way that I've realized after just from my personal journey, my personal experience, is that spirituality, we already are. Religion is something that we have to try to be. So when you are, you know, if you're ever not sure the difference, really spirituality is something that we can't try to be. You already are. You know, we come from that essence, whatever you call it. Some people call it source, creator, God, universe, whatever it is. We come from that. And that is everything. And spirituality really is in everything. So the first part is knowing that you already are spiritual. The second part is, what does that mean? Well, from my perspective, spirituality is expansion and growing and connecting with our true essence, more of our true nature, which to me is love, kindness, gratitude, service, you know, anything that kind of puts me back into remembering who I really am is spiritual. And although there are a lot of wonderful qualities in the traditions of religion, and I think the intention maybe in the beginning of what religions were, the intention was to be more spiritual. But I think along the way what happened, and this maybe some in some religions more than others, it really became more about limitations, control, and really, you know, just really limiting us in a way that you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, just really putting us in a box. And that doesn't mean that there is no value in religion. Of course there is. Maybe there's religions that have wonderful traditions, whether it's from marriage to celebrating holidays, whatever it is, and that's amazing. You know, we can extract those wonderful qualities from the religion and value and see the value in that. But when it comes to promoting fear and that we are separate, you know, that we are not that essence itself, that, you know, a lot of religions tend to look outside of themselves in order to connect with, not all of them, but some of them, to connect with God, source, whatever they believe to be that omnipresent. And for me, I understand that spirituality is more about going inside and reconnecting to that essence from within, because we are that energy and we are not needing to look outside of ourselves, which religion, from my perspective, seems to do. It really puts, you know, gives the power away and disempowers someone and basically looks outside of yourself for a leader or something to, you know, make you a better person. So the biggest difference really is one is more about looking within and one seems to be more about kind of disempowering and looking outside of ourselves. And that, again, doesn't mean that there's no value in some kind of traditions of the religion that we can apply in our life. But spirituality, you already are. And it's about a way of being. And for me, spirituality can be as simple as smelling a flower and just being really present in that moment and allowing the fragrance of the flower to just, you know, being in that moment and enjoying it fully. It can be meditating. It can be smiling at your neighbor or just someone that you don't know and a really genuine smile. It can be being of service, volunteering your time. It can be loving yourself, choosing to love yourself more and take care of yourself. It can be anything. So spirituality is not boxed. You see, it's more about, you know, the unlimited potential, the unlimited energy that is already you. And you already are spiritual, Michael. There's, you know, that you don't have to try to be. You already are. When you are, you know, connecting with your friends at dinner and really enjoying that moment and laughing, that's that can be considered spiritual. So really, that's kind of the big difference for me. And another thing that I've also noticed is that spirituality is really about letting go of judgment. And even though a lot of religion speaks of being non-judgmental, there seems to still be a lot of, you know, exclusion and, you know, oh, our group is better than that group. So there seems to be kind of some judgment there. And this is also something that can happen in spiritual groups that are, you know, or they tend to find themselves spiritual, maybe no religion affiliation, but just really like, it can be New Age, it can be whatever it is. And there's, they can still find themselves in that place of judgment where we separate ourselves and say, oh, you know, our group is more aware than them. No, that's not what true spirituality is. It's all, you know, spirituality is kind of recognizing where everything is and knowing that everything is where it needs to be, and just respecting and honoring it as it is, not trying to change it, not trying to force it to be something else. That's also a part of being really spiritual. And when we judge and say, oh, you know, only this amount of people are going to heaven, or whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of different teachings, or, you know, this group is more elite than the other, that tends to be definitely a disconnect from spirituality. So that's kind of my little understanding. That's my perspective. I hope I answered your question, Michael. And if you have any other questions specifically to that, you can, you know, just send me an email and I'll be happy to help you with that. And thank you very much. Very thought-provoking question. So let's get right to our next question from Janelle in France. Ooh, I love that. So here's what Janelle is writing. My whole life, I've had a sister who has always belittled me and everyone around her. I always felt sorry for her because she didn't have many friends. I am now getting very tired and no longer can tolerate her behavior. In fact, I'm starting to have some pain in my stomach for a few months now, and I am wondering if this has anything to do with what's going on. Any advice from you is greatly appreciated. Okay, well, thank you, Janelle, for sharing that. I know, you know, sometimes it's not easy to share something so personal. So thank you for doing that. And Yeah, this is definitely one of those. Sometimes it can feel like a fine line because, you know, she's family and we want to be there for her and everything. But at the same time, we need to make sure, you know, you are not compromising your health and not compromising, you know, your well-being as well. So here, you know, in this case, the first thing that I wanted to answer, you said, I'm starting to have some pain in my stomach. And you've been having it for a few months, obviously, because you've probably been it's coming to a head, they say, you know, coming to a point where you have to make a decision about this situation. So I do feel that it does have to do something with it, especially because our solar plex, which is our stomach, is our power center. And if there's something going on there, usually it's because there's an imbalance. We're either giving our power away or we are not fully being our true authentic self or not allowing ourselves to be who we want to be in life. You know, we're not showing up. Maybe we're hiding or we are kind of just letting people take advantage of us or whatever it is. So that's the first part is, yes, I do feel like that probably has something very much to do with what's going on here. And because she is your sister, you know, it's definitely, you know, you feel that even more. So what, from my perspective with friends or just family members who I've dealt with in a similar situation, I would say that sometimes we can love without necessarily needing to be around that person. So, you know, I know Jerry and Esther Hicks talk about this saying, you know, vibrations. And when we shift our vibration, you know, there are going to be some people around us that maybe are not comfortable with that vibrational shift. So either they will kind of move out of our life with ease, hopefully, and or they, you know, for a time being, they will maybe be in a space where they don't speak with us or whatever, because we stood into our power, we stood up for ourselves. But then eventually they will come around if it's for the highest and greatest good. So it's like a vibrational match. And right now it seems like there is a mismatch between you and your sister, especially because you seem to be on a path that is more, if I'm not mistaken, it seems like you don't want to belittle people and you want to be more kind and loving to your surroundings. So the first thing that I would do personally is I would share it with her how you feel in a way and open up the dialogue in a way that is not feeling like an attack on her, because sometimes people can be very defensive. So just kind of opening it up and just saying, you know, I appreciate you so much, you know, I love you, and I just, you know, I wanted to kind of share something that I've been going through, and then kind of open the dialogue up that way, and then kind of share what you feel, you know, saying that, you know, I noticed that, you know, or let's say it's happening in your awareness. Let's say you're at a restaurant and maybe she's belittling the waiter or waitress or whatever it is. So maybe you can use it at a time and an opportunity where it's fresh in her mind. And then you can say, you know, this makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, and also when you belittle me, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it's kind of not in that space where it's empowering me, you know? And maybe she'll say, oh, what does that mean? And say, you know, I'm really here to empower others, and I want to see the best for you, and I want to empower you, and that's why I've been here for you and supportive, you know, towards you in your life. And I would really, really appreciate if maybe you could provide the same kind of support for me. Now, if she gets defensive in that perspective, then you know, maybe you know that it's time for sure to move on. But if there's some kind of, you know, aha moment that you see on her behalf, then maybe there is something that you guys could do to work this out. But before you actually say, oh, I don't want you in my life, or, you know, or kind of just transition out of that, it's important to see if it is salvageable and just see if you guys can come to a common ground. Say, you know, I appreciate you. I think there needs to be kind of a mutual appreciation, a mutual balance between us, respect, etc. If that's not possible, then, you know, you have every right to release her out of your life. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be, difficult. But it can be in a way that honors you, because you are very important, and you have to not brush yourself aside. Your feelings, your emotions, they all matter. And if you're not respecting yourself and treating yourself with love and respect, then what happens is we project that, and the world is mirrored back in that way. So then others will not respect us and, you know, honor us. So the first thing, really, try to salvage and see if you can come to a common understanding. If that doesn't work, then you have to start looking at what it is. Am I treating myself in a way that's loving? Am I treating myself in a way that's kind? Am I belittling myself? Am I putting myself down? And then if you see that you are, then there you have your answer. And also, by allowing someone to belittle us, that means we're still, you know, we are belittling ourselves, because, when you have a strong, healthy ability to love yourself and accept yourself, you would never allow anyone to belittle you. So that's something that maybe I would do specifically, is just see and gauge where my, how much I'm loving myself and really, if am I being kind to myself? And then, you know, you can love from afar. You don't have to stop loving your sister just because she's not in your present experience. You know, she's not in your daily, everyday life. You can love her from afar, give her her space, give her her time, until maybe she can go through her own process, and one day you guys can get back into a similar vibration and frequency. But the first step, again, just want to reiterate, I would at least try to find a common ground to see if, you know, and be honest and open before I, made any decision on whether I wanted her to be in my life or not. And the next step would be, you know, checking and seeing, am I being kind to myself? Am I, you know, how much am I belittling myself? And, you know, start shifting that dialogue. And as you do that, then your life will mirror that. You will start attracting people into your life who will start respecting you and honoring you and uplifting you instead of putting you down. So that's my little perspective on that. And if you have any questions, Janelle, and if you need any more expansion on that, please email me anytime, and I would be happy to connect with you. So thank you for that. And wow, we are definitely getting some powerful questions here. So here we go. Now we have Carol in Ohio. So she writes, "Hi, Emmanuel. I'm in my 30s, and I still have not figured out what my purpose in life is. I think because of this, I haven't had a job in a few years. Can you help, please?" Well, you know what? I can definitely understand. I've worked with so many clients who have, you know, been in this space, and I would be honored to assist you. So the first thing that I would share with you, Carol, is I'm seeing that there's a tendency for you to associate your purpose with a job. because you said here, I'm in my 30s and still have not figured out what my purpose is in life. I think because of this, I haven't had a job in a few years. Can you help, please? So I think it's like seeing your purpose as being a job. So I'd like to invite you to just at least be willing to know that maybe your purpose is more than a job. Does that make sense? So maybe your purpose in life is to be happy. And then when you expand it to that, you can start allowing yourself to find all the things that bring you joy. And then somehow, some way, one of those things you can incorporate into being a career if that's what you want. So really opening it up from seeing your purpose of being a job into, you know, seeing expanding it into a quality of being and life. And I know from personal experience that our number one purpose in life, just from my experience, is to experience joy, is to experience more of our true nature. So if it's something that, let's say you would like to, I always use this example, if you want to own a winery, you know, but you also love to, let's see, what else do you love to do? You love painting, okay? So all of that is part of your purpose because it all brings you joy. So just because right now you are, making wine, you know, you have your own winery, doesn't mean that maybe tomorrow you can't be an artist, or maybe next year, or in the next 5 years, things change. So our purpose is not set in stone. It always evolves. It always changes. So when you realize that your purpose is just to be happy and experience joy, then you open it up and you won't put so much pressure on yourself. Now, let's see. Okay, so you said you haven't figured out what your purpose in life is. So now we know that your purpose is to experience more joy. Now we can make a list of all the things that you enjoy doing, from as big as you think that it is to as small as, you know, going to Starbucks and drinking coffee or whatever it is. So writing all the things that bring you joy, okay? Maybe traveling, maybe public speaking, maybe helping people, whatever it is. So what I would say is basically really open it up in that way and make that list. And once you have created that list of all the things that you enjoy doing, kind of just go through it and see, you know, how you can incorporate some of those things more in your life. So maybe going to, if you like to go to the park and go for a walk, maybe incorporating that a little more in your life because that brings you joy. So that's, in essence, putting you back on purpose. Whether it's hanging out with some good friends, whatever it is. So start incorporating more of those things. As you do, you'll start noticing that you're in a space of joy, and which means you're in alignment with the flow of life. The quicker you get back into joy and back into alignment, the quicker you will have that clarity on what, especially in your career, you'll have more of that clarity. Actually, things will start falling into place more, and opportunities will present themselves to you. You won't really need to be searching or fighting for or struggling and trying to get find your job. It will just kind of show up, whether it's through an idea, an insight, or it's through someone sharing a new opportunity with you, a new job, whatever it is. You know, it'll be really clear for you. And what I would like to do is expand on this is now, let's say you do get offered a job, right? And you can go back to your list and see, does this job, can I put this job under my list of what my purpose is, which my purpose is to experience joy? Let's say this opportunity does not feel good to you. It's just more about financial. Oh, yeah, I can do that, but it doesn't make my heart sing. Then you have the clarity that this is not for you, because guess what? You're going to go back into like another little pattern of going to a job that you're not liking. You're going to get into a funk until you get a next job, right? So then this will be clear to you. You won't even need to go through that cycle because you know that this doesn't fall into that category of bringing you ultimate joy. And then maybe another job presents itself, whether it's a joint venture or whatever it is, and you're just like, wow, this feels so good to me. This feels like freeing. This feels in alignment. This makes me happy. All these things. Then you can go back and see, wow, this does go under my category of my purpose, which is ultimate joy, and then you can pursue that. And then you can take that opportunity and take the opportunities that are being presented to you. So in essence, when we open up our purpose from making it about a job or a title, you know, some people think that their job is just to be, you know, a sister, a wife, a mom, whatever it is, you know, just really limiting ourselves. And those are wonderful attributes, and they, you know, they can definitely fall into that highest purpose of joy, but it's not just about that. You are a whole, complete person that is here to experience many things that bring you joy, and it's just where you are feeling like right now in your life, in this time of your life, where, you know, what brings you joy right now, and following that, and then the job will follow. Okay, Carol? So when you open it up, everything will kind of work itself out. It really does. I've put this to test many times, and, you know, I've done many jobs that I did not like, and always came back to, you know, what my real passion is to help people and to hopefully inspire and motivate them in some way. And once I followed that, because that's really makes my heart sing, everything opened up for me, because that's just something that is makes my, you know, it's a part of my life purpose. So I'm sure that, I hope that I was able to assist you, and I'm sure that, you know, meditating on your purpose and expanding it to being more of a quality in your life instead of like a job, will definitely assist you in getting the clarity that you need. So thank you, Carol, so much for sharing that. And I know a lot of us are going through that right now, not sure what our purpose is. So hopefully what I shared was something that resonated with you. So we have time for a few more. So now we have Dario in Los Angeles. So Dario writes, I'm seeing lots of fear being put out into the collective consciousness about 2012. It's getting to the point where even prominent figures in the spiritual and conscious movements are buying into this fear. What are your thoughts on this? Interesting. Well, I've definitely been seeing a lot of that as well. And the way that I see it is it's actually a good thing, because, you know, it's bringing everything to the surface that a lot of us you know, all those root causes that bring us a lot of fear, and they're coming up to be released. So to me, I look at it as a blessing, like all these shifts happening. But let's begin, first of all, with that whole concept of promoting fear. So what, you know, why do people do that? What is that? So fear itself is, from what I have come to understand, you know, everyone is different, and sometimes, you know, we all have our own perspective, but I've come to understand that fear is an illusion. So it is a distraction, you know, and it stems from what I've come to experience, the survival mode, okay? So the mind, quote-unquote, many people call it the ego, has become now more about being in a space of survival, and it wants to protect itself. So, you know, actually it's trying to protect us. So imagine, if you could, that a little child, 3 years old, you know, is not fully developed, is not using its full awareness at that time as far as understanding and wisdom goes, although there are a lot of children who are quite wise and ancient. But, you know, just let's say developmentally in our society, it maybe doesn't have the same wisdom as like a really wise sage does, okay? And the wise sage is kind of like the metaphor for our highest aspect, the part of us that knows everything. It's divine. It's super aware of everything. But then the mind, the ego aspect of the mind, the part that we are mostly in a space, the conscious mind, you know, it's like a little child, and it's with the awareness that it has is doing the best job that it knows how to keep you safe and protected, right? So when you are in a space of fear, worry, doubt, all that stuff, it's just the mind trying to protect you because it's you know, wants to survive. It wants to, you know, it doesn't want to, it believes in a beginning and an end. It believes that, you know, it's going to die, all these things. So we know there's a part of us, there's an aspect of us that knows better, you know. It's the part that we can connect with, the higher mind and the heart, you know, being able to really bring that forth. So that's the first part, is understanding where fear comes from. So because of this survival mechanism, a few, you know, people, cultures, whatever, started realizing that they could capitalize on that. Okay, so it became about control, or it became about some kind of gain, or something in that realm. And we know that whole realm is an illusion. It doesn't exist in the true realm of, you know, the divine, which is unconditional love, and that's it. You know, that's the true energy. It's that life force that flows through you, through the trees, through the universe, through everything. It has no judgment. It just is. And it gives, you know, because it just is, then it gives the freedom of, you know, choice and experience. And until it, you know, we remember again who we really are and who our essence is. So this whole thing about fear-mongering, especially, I know, you know, we've seen a lot of the society, the media, the collective consciousness really buying into it and actually promoting it. But now you're right, I am seeing a lot of the spiritual teachers and things also sharing a lot of that information of, you know, of a fear-based underlining tone. So I would say to that is just use it as discernment. You know, they're going through their process. You know, don't look at them as being bad. Just look at them as they're going through their process until they have their realization that there really is no such thing as fear. It's an illusion. And, you know, being compassionate towards them and really getting back into a place of focusing on what is, you know, feeling right for you. What is in alignment for you. And the whole concept of 2012, just from a lot of the readings that I've done and just from what I've gauged from personal experience, is that it's not an end, it's a new beginning. And I know many of you have also come to this conclusion that it's a new beginning. And with this new beginning, you know, as endings happen, usually we have to tie loose ends, right? We have to make sure that everything is in alignment so that we can have our new beginning. So let's say you are moving out of a house, correct? So you want to sell the house, so you have to make sure that's taken care of. Then when you sell it, you have to make sure that, you know, you clean everything out of the house, and you have to make sure that, you know, you make it ready for the next person to step into, and then you go on your journey and step into your new house. So that's kind of this similar thing happening right now, where we're moving out of our house and stepping into a new, even more beautiful house. And, you know, as we do move into the new house, we have to make sure that all the things that need to be let go of, released, you know, that need to be the loose ends that need to be tied from the other house, making sure that the real estate agent gets paid, all these things. So we have to make sure that we honor all of that in order to step into our new realities. And that's what, in essence, is happening. And it's nothing, you know, as the whole idea that a lot of people put out there that seems to be scary. It has nothing to do with that. It's a time, just like anything else, just as the seasons change, there's something that is ending, and then there's something new that is beginning. So I would just invite you, and we'll talk about 2012 a little more deeply in future shows, but really just as long as you're in the heart space and you are honoring yourself and honoring others and just choosing to, as much as possible, to operate with love, compassion, gratitude, joy, kindness, you know, nothing will ever hurt or harm you. And even when things appear to be difficult, you know, you're always safe in those moments because, you know, your higher self, your spirit, knows exactly what's the best for you, and it will put you in the perfect situation that it needs to be. So when we are open to following our intuition and following our higher self, we're always at the right place at the right time. It's when we are in a space of panic and fear and worry, which is the illusion, and it's the mind trying to protect us, that we sometimes don't notice the where we need to be. And that's when sometimes, you know, things could be a little more challenging than they need to be. So just, I ask you that, you know, are you being hard on yourself for being in a space of fear? If you are, then just say, hey, you know, my mind's just trying to protect me. You know, I'm going to make peace with my mind and just move back into your higher mind, your heart space as well. And be willing to know that there is another way. You know, you don't have to dwell on that fear or worry, etc. But that's a great question, Dario, and I'm so grateful. If you have any more things that you want to share about that, please let me know for sure. And I think we can probably take one more question. So this comes from Tiffany in New York. So she says, Emmanuel, you seem to be happy all the time. What is your secret? Well, thank you, Tiffany. I try. So it's not really a secret. You know, the thing is, for me, I've made happiness my number one priority. That's the first thing is, you know, for a long time, it was really about doing for others, focusing on others, worrying about others, you know, all that stuff. Because, of course, for me, it was more about wanting to please others in order to fit in, to be liked, whatever. So when I let that go and realized that my happiness is my number one priority and my happiness comes from within instead of looking outside of myself, then everything started changing. So my secret little formula is simple. The first process was choosing to love myself and accept myself, and it takes work. It's like working out. Or if you're a painter or a singer or an architect or a lawyer, whatever it is, you have to practice that craft, correct? So self-love and self-acceptance is a craft. It's an art. And the more, in the beginning at least, and the more that we put effort into it, for me it was, you know, doing more things that showed myself that I loved myself, that, you know, which meant doing things that I enjoy most, whether it's meditating, walking, you know, eating really healthy, whatever it is that was showing myself that I really love and accept myself, and being really intentional with it. Okay, and there's a lot of things that you can do there. There's a lot of awesome books. A lot of, you know, some of my favorites are by Louise Hay. She has some great things that she shares. And the other thing that I just mentioned is my diet. So I really made sure, because the food that we eat has a great impact because it's energy, right? So it does impact your well-being, your mood. And for me, I find that the healthier I eat with, you know, organic food, food that's more from the earth rather than food that's boxed or food that, you know, has been altered in some way or chemicals, whatever it is, I find that, you know, the more organic, the more healthy I eat, whatever it is, even if it's an apple or whatever, I start feeling better. You know, I literally start feeling better. And that's another little thing that I do. Gratitude really always puts me in a state of bliss and joy. For me, I do what I'm grateful for, 7 things that I'm grateful for in the morning and why I'm grateful for them, and then 7 things that I'm grateful for before I go to bed and why I'm grateful for that. And that really always, in the beginning when I started this process, it felt more like I was just going through the motions. But eventually you do unlock something. It's like you move an energy and you start, you know, I can feel connected. I feel like even sometimes I can get that, you know, the chills, the arms on the hair, on the arms raise and, you know, on the top of my head, and I just feel so connected to everything. So gratitude, self-love, acceptance, diet, and exercise. So moving the body doesn't have to be like working out like at the gym, but you can go dance, you can trampoline, you can swim, whatever it is that can move the body is very important. I do that at least about 45 minutes to 60 minutes a day, so that really helps raise my vibration, because as you move the energy, you know, it moves and it raises and expands and it raises your life force energy itself, and you become, you know, happier. So that's kind of my little simple secret is diet, exercise, gratitude, and self-love and acceptance. That's my little combination. And of course, there's a lot of different things that I do with service, and, you know, I love to be of service and making, you know, people happy from a place that feels good to me and authentic to me, not forced. And just, you know, a lot of different things that, you know, just try different things that might work for you, Tiffany. But, you know, that's kind of my little technique to being happy. So if you have a hot topic or question that you would like to share on the show, and you would like some clarity on that we can discuss and, you know, chat about, please email me at Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com, and I will make sure that I get that on the air. So thank you. That was such an amazing first Ask Emmanuel session. You know, I hope you had some insights and aha moments that you can replay or share with your family or friends and kind of share this audio and recording with them. And, you know, this makes my heart sing. I really enjoy kind of sharing my personal experience, because I know we're all in this together. You know, not one of us is above the other. We are all here together. And that's the way that I always like to approach everything that I do, is that we are all in this together. And I think when we do, you know, miracles happen, because we can shift so many things as we move along this journey together. That being said, thank you, thank you, thank you from my heart for creating this amazing show with me today. Thank you to all those who contributed with their questions. Thank you, Rosalie. I'm so grateful. And thank you to all the listeners who are tuning in, who are supporting the show, who are spreading the word to their friends, their family, their loved ones, their colleagues, really allowing everyone to experience positive change in their life, maybe some positive ideas, insights that can really help them on their journey. And thank you for helping me on my journey to allow me to do what I love most in inspiring and bottom line, just bringing more joy to people. That's all I want to do. So thank you so much for that. And also, if you want to receive a free healing, check out MiracleCafeRadio.com, and you can receive if you sign up for the newsletter, you can receive a free 1-hour healing there. And also I have a library of amazing 1-minute little mini healing sessions, energy sessions that you can check out there at MiracleCafeRadio.com, and also energy forecasts. So I do monthly forecasts. If you're not sure what's going on energetically, you can always check those out there. And if you would like to work one-on-one private in private sessions, I will be happy to work with you, and you can check out magnifiedmanifesting.com to learn more about my work and how I may be able to serve you. So have a wonderful next 2 weeks, and I will connect with you again very soon. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.